Hi, this is Dave Douglas. You're listening to the Greenleaf Music Podcast, A Noise from the Deep. And you were just listening to the music of Soweto Kinch. And he's agreed to be a guest on the podcast. He just interviewed me for his show, Jazz Now, on BBC Three. And we're sitting in the basement at Pizza Express in London, where I'll be playing tonight. And I wish he was playing with me.
Well, next time, we'll have to make that happen.
Sure. Soweto, thanks for coming on.
Thanks for having me. It's
great to talk to you. Great to hear all this music.
Sure.
It's hard to do an easy bio of you, so we'll put something up on the site, but just suffice it to say, even in what we just heard on Never Ending, so much, you know, the composing, the saxophone playing, the storyline, the activism in your music, the pulling together all kinds of threads of what you do, I found it really hard to make excerpts of your piece because they're so unfolding and they just open up. So I guess I would open by asking you, and we'll back up, we'll go back to your first record, but how do you see all those threads coming together now in your work?
I'd like to think as a greater state of congruence that you're not trying to blend elements that are perceived on opposite ends of a spectrum or anything. It's just what you're hearing and what I'm feeling at this point. And so you're right. I think I like to let my music become unfolding or let it tell me what it's going to be. Mm. A lot of the time, song lyrics or song themes arise out of a sense of a feeling, either that of injustice or emotion or something that's nebulous and you can't even put words to. And that might then become a hip-hop track. It might become an instrumental jazz ballad. It, you know, is a sense in which I'm trying to obey where the music's leading me more, whatever that is.
Yeah, I left out the rap and the rhyme and the spoken word.
And I think they're all products of my environment growing up in a particular time where people always said it's strange, like, how do you do jazz and hip-hop? Well, actually, the moment I got the jazz bug was when it seemed that half of hip-hop got the jazz bug as well. Tribe Called Quest, The Far Side, De La Soul, everybody had gone from sampling James Brown to discovering Ron Carter and discovering the sound of vibraphones all of a sudden.
Wow.
And so I really, at the age of 13, went to Edinburgh with my father, who's a playwright. He was also with a hoofer called Will Gaines and a percussionist called Frank Holder, who were bona fide jazz musicians, and at the same time was just hearing all this new hip-hop around. And to me, it just made perfect sense. And I never wanted that shiny, smooth saxophone sound. I always wanted the dirty, raspy, almost tenoristic sound of the alto that I heard on hip-hop breaks, when I think about it. You know, when I heard in those samples, they always went for the grainy, gritty, raw sound of jazz that I still identify with, as opposed to, you know, no offense, but the smoother side of jazz that some people liked in the 80s.
So do you feel like you're... I mean, was saxophone your first instrument?
Certainly the one I took most seriously first, but I started a little bit of piano, and my grandma had paid for a woman from church to come and give me some basic piano lessons, so I got grades 1 and 2. And
so then, we thank the church
again. Amen. And then got into clarinet when I was 7 years old, played a little classical clarinet for a couple of years, and developed that embouchure, really got into that. It was when I was 9 years old that I first got the saxophone. And then at 13, as I say, it was quite a watershed year. I went along to Edinburgh, snuck backstage at a Wynton Marsalis concert with Wes Anderson and stuff at age 13. And it was quite transformative when you see, you know, cats of that caliber. This is what jazz actually can be.
Yeah, but it's interesting you were talking about the saxophone breaks on the hip-hop records you were hearing. And would you say that was your driving inspiration, or more like, you know, where those samples came, but like Charlie Parker or maybe Sonny Stitt or others?
I think there's people don't often speak about this, but there's a real drive within hip hop for those who are real acolytes for authenticity. You don't want your lyrics to be bitten. That's the worst thing you could possibly do, or, you know, just kind of derive your style from somebody else.
Yeah.
Things are a little different now, but
jazz is like that.
Jazz is absolutely like that. And so for me to want to call myself a jazz musician or be like, oh, I can play that, there was a real pride that came from knowing where some of the breaks came from. you know, knowing, okay, this was Gary Bartz that they used here. Have you heard the original record?
Nice.
A real kind of vinyl junkie, wow, breakbeat culture that's associated with hip-hop.
So those records led you back to the actual
players?
To
the source.
Nice.
Absolutely, absolutely. And a particular sound, a particular, energy that I picked up from those breaks that you wouldn't have got from just any jazz record necessarily.
Wow, that's fantastic. So that brings me back to your first record, I guess. Mm. Was it your first record, or did you have one before that? I'm talking about Conversations with the Unseen.
That was definitely my first record, yeah.
2003?
I listened back and I can tell. 2003. I think it released in 2003, product of shedding and playing with a trio for a year or so, and mm-hmm. I think went to the studio in 02, so the cool. album, yeah, came out.
So we're going to listen to this track called Good News. Mm.
Some memories. A special shout out to Eska Mutangwazi, who's been doing great things. You know, she's the guest vocalist on this track and has since gone on to garner all sorts of awards. I'm sure is going to tear America, you know, apart. They're going to not know what tornado of music has hit them when she starts touring over there. But her latest album is incredible. So do
she
check
sounds
that.
Amazing, mm. and the phrasing is so. Mm.
So precise, so musical.
But also really rooted. Mm-hmm. I mean, really, I'm like hearing that and I'm hearing Charlie Parker and
yep.
I'm hearing Dizzy Gillespie, yep. Bud Powell.
Her musical lexicon is really rare and broad. I mean, we'll sit down and talk about Kate Bush to Cyndi Lauper and like 80s big ballads. And then again, the authenticity thing is massive with her. There's obviously, you know, you can hear Ella, you can hear the, some authentic love of jazz going on, but something that's really bespoke, the way she puts it all together is just totally unique.
And some of those unison lines where she's singing with the guitar, with the sax, so that's all written by you, I would assume.
Yeah, it's, but you know, she can go off and extemporize. I mean, the solo was all her, obviously. And I think she is a musician's dream. I mean, I've written so many interesting intervallic leaps and strange heads and sollies, and she just eats them up for breakfast. Like, you know, she's another saxophone. The best saxophone in the band, kind of thing, you know.
Puts the saxophonist to shame. To shame,
right? Right. I'm flat, I'm sharp. She's not.
Where does she live?
She's in South London.
Okay.
She's in South London, but soon to be Queen of the World, I imagine. I called it here first. She's incredible.
Okay, good. Yeah, I hope so. But I was going to ask you about, you know, links to bebop. I mean, is that something that was really important for you? I mean, on that track, it seems like it's overt.
Absolutely.
Along with the spoken word and the voice and everything else that's going on.
Sure.
There's a real hearkening back to those days.
Absolutely. I mean, I know you identify with this. At 13 years old, I just got the bug. Mm-hmm. You know, I wanted to go to every secondhand music shop and hear every solo and was scatting to myself in my head, if not particularly proficiently. You know, it was just the sense of falling in love, really deeply falling in love with the music. And that's never left, you know.
Wow.
There'll always be that bebop vein in my head because that's, you know, where I first identified a real love for the music.
So I'm thinking when you were 13, so that would have been...
91.
And you were scatting Charlie Parker solos.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't have got up on any stage or anything like that, but I was
quite
a weird teenager.
Somebody would have thrown a cymbal at you, maybe, but they did that to him, too.
No doubt. But I think I derived a certain pleasure from being the bohemian kid on the school bus that... The only one who could get
jazz.
John Coltrane, yeah.
Right.
The only one who really dug Charlie Parker. I mean, yeah, you know, you guys kind of understand Tribe Called Quest once in a while, or, but this is way too esoteric for you. I get this and a few other acolytes with prototype goatees that we haven't grown yet.
And how did that go over on the school bus? Is that an effective ploy?
Not so well, but once I got to university, I certainly met kindred spirits, people who got that and you could kind of share the same penchant I had for obscure records and, you know, dubbing cassettes from borrowed records from the library and all sorts that we did to get that knowledge.
And I guess not to belabor the point, but not to put too much significance into just one track that we heard, but I mean... You feel like that really is a central part of where this music was coming from.
And particularly with this album, it was quite a blatant attempt really for me to make a sort of a homage to the different styles of alto playing that had really affected me. So you'll hear...
So that was a conscious...
A very conscious thing. You know, you'll hear on, I think it's track 3 on Snake Hips, going for a more Benny Carter, Johnny Hodges, old style way of playing the alto. On another track, maybe influenced by Sonny Rollins and tenor players and a whole style of swing that affected me as well in a particular way. So I was kind of exploring different aspects of the saxophone that excited me with a view to like, okay, I know I'm not necessarily a master of this particular sub-idiom, but it inspires me
now. Well, you always sound like yourself.
That's
the
main
thing. So it's interesting to hear how specific the inspirations are, but at the end of the day, you always end up...
You know,
with your own
great friend and mentor, advisor Jean Toussaint, possibly played with the Blakey, the Messengers, incredible. And he said similar things to me, really. That, you know, go ahead, transcribe. You know, your embouchure, your setup. You're never going to sound like the people you admire. So take down as much as you can, broaden your.
And
lexicon.
At first, that sounded like a tragedy, and then ultimately, it became a relief.
Phew, I don't sound like the clone I was trying to be.
But the music, I mean, it seems to me like things changed for you. I mean, I want to move on to this next album.
Sure.
It's called A Life in the Day. of B19.
Mm. B19, for those Americans out there who are very confused, is a zip code. It's a postcode, Birmingham 19, and it's not the most salubrious corner of Birmingham, one of the more forgotten, left behind, inverted commas, areas of my city. And I kind of wanted to make an inner city urban narrative album that wasn't focused on the salacious stuff that you find in, you know, Get Rich or Die Trying, all the popular hood dramas. I'm like, I live in a tower block. Not everyone's selling crack. There's a postman who lives here. There's an old lady who's just kind of on her own. There's a single mom struggling to look after two kids. I wanted particularly to shine a light on that narrative, which I felt was much more reflective of the reality.
Wow. Okay, we're gonna hear Rides.
The lift hits the 15th floor, Christine's door. She's jobless, just sits indoors. No furniture at all, but a pristine Ford. It's a sports car, but Dwayne and Marcus, the kids is poor. Get 10 lottery tickets, chips and chicken curry. The change is yours and your brother's school dinner money. The other lift is broken, the stairs is quicker in a hurry. Dwayne's had the same shirt for years, his jeans is figure hugging. Mom's never paid the optician's prescription, so his vision's muddy. The lift skips past the even number. The 13th floor so cold that it could freeze in summer. The guy from 93's disease teeth is nearly green in color. Plays techno every evening, speakers never seem to slumber. Dwayne's still on his way to the news agents running. Sure he saw his stepfather kiss a half-naked woman. Tonguing in his mother's Porsche hugging. Here's £20 for 10 you never saw nothing. Thinks he's all covered and more cunning, but didn't know the girl was sure from next door's cousin. The lift hits 11, collects Mr. and Mrs. Jennings, who vowed never to visit his sister since she discovered crack crystal selling. In a living hell, her lips are red and the ribs are swelling. Ever since they failed to make her reconsider living in different dwellings. The ninth floor where even mice walk with knives drawn. Holes in the roof, shells on the lionel striped floor. With brown heads hallucinating, shooting up the white walls. Five doors from Paul, the former army major. Now just a neo-Nazi who hates his Somali neighbors. That dealer got pocket change, the size of life savings. Owns a plasma screen behind a white door with iron gating. Old firearms behind another layer of caging. Just in case his crime rivals find him and then try and break him. The seventh floor, open trash, empty cans of Stella. You only ever need to breathe in to catch salmonella. These are far from intrinsically sick and evil people. Just some ill-considered decisions and this living is illegal. Trying to keep from falling when there's no baseline. Now the base stay climbing, stay climbing. I'm in the maze, dreaming of free flight. Even the moon's face is hidden behind street lights. Shafts leading down, nowhere to leak light. We elevate, stay climbing, stay climbing, yo. We elevate, stay climbing, yo. The lift sees it, God all around sees it. The lift shaft and the thin walls leaking. But both still trying to keep their activity secret. We elevate, stay climbing, stay climbing. We stay stepping up, keep climbing up. Everywhere it seems hard to find it.
Wow, that's great. It's like a full orchestra. I mean, okay, so it's... Well, you know, we're moving in this rap direction. Sure. Obviously, you haven't left anything behind. The saxophone is still in there. Beauty. And the composing. And, you know, but you're clearly moving on here. This is, what, 2006?
That's actually, you know what's funny? I was in New York writing a lot of this stuff about Birmingham. So I went on a kind of 6 month sabbatical in 2004. Lived in Bed-Stuy with my aunt and just was shedding and going to every jam session I could possibly find.
Right.
But I had these sketches of ideas and then came, finished them off in 2005.
And so the rap, the words, the poetry, the lyric, the rhymes. Mm.
They've been fermenting.
But also with the social activism, with the what's going on element, that it was fermenting for you.
Absolutely.
Based on what you heard, but also what you were living. Right?
Absolutely, absolutely. And the same continued when I was in New York. You know, I'm just sentient of the fact that the realities that are portrayed in our mainstream media are often so far removed from the realities as they are on the ground.
That's like you were just talking about with the B19, right?
Right. It's,
yeah, absolutely. Absolutely true.
And there's this idea that because I felt it particularly, I went to a private school, went to an Oxford and had that education, but grew up in Handsworth and in areas much like it, in Lambeth Grove and in Brixton in London. Mm-hmm. And there's this supposed dichotomy that if you're from, quote unquote, the hood, you have to talk, behave a particular way, your aspirations have to be set at a particularly low bar. And that just didn't bear out to what I saw, the realities. And there was a poet in my tower block, there were plenty of artists, not just graffiti artists, plenty of poets, plenty of just really intellectual, aspirant people, as well as your drug dealers, living cheek by jowl.
Right.
You know, and I felt it was important to reflect that situation accurately. Still do. Still do. Especially
hard to do that in music, isn't it? I mean, because even in music, there's those same expectations about what we look like and what we're supposed to be like.
Until you do it, and then people turn up to your concert who are late 50s and white middle class from the Shires of England, who are saying, "I love hip hop. This is not what I expected. This isn't all offensive. This is this. I identify with this."
But that's so sad.
Exactly. And then,
wait a minute. This isn't offensive.
I'm not offended. You must have done something wrong. And similarly, your inner city teenagers who will turn up to the same gig and be seen.
That's great.
You know, in an environment where we're not often encouraged to coexist.
You must feel like that's a victory on some level.
Massively.
For the art, right?
Massively. And it's a big reason why I host a festival, curate a festival myself in Birmingham as well, that's free, that's, you know, about bringing people who might already be persuaded, evangelized jazz acolytes already, and those who have yet to come into the music.
What's the name of that festival and when does it happen?
It's called The Flyover Show, and it happens in England underneath a motorway flyover in Birmingham. You couldn't have a more inner city location. It's happening this year on the 20th of August. So if you or any of your listeners happen to be in the UK, then that's where you want to be.
That's fantastic.
Ernest Ranglin's going to be there. It's going to be a great fun party under a bridge.
I should ask about your independent label and how you're releasing your music, because I think that's so much a part of what we do these days.
Hugely, and you know, I take great inspiration for what you've done with Greenleaf as well. And for the past three albums have been independent releases since the New Emancipation. And so the title was both perfect thematically, but personally as well. anybody who's been mired in labels politics before knows it can be quite messy. Thankfully, it wasn't too arduous with me, but it certainly has allowed me a carte blanche to make whatever music, to blend things however I want. You know, and that's really exciting. And
you can work on your own timeline.
Absolutely.
What's the name of your label?
Collaborators. I've gone for the very imaginatively titled Soweto Kinch Recordings. Easy to find.
That's good. Yeah. There won't be another one, that's for sure.
For sure, for sure. Same with publishing, actually, at the moment. So, great. I just find the cottage industry, to some extent, have been able to set an agenda, set a musical world, and then find the right collaborators to work with it, as opposed to the other way around, where things were starting to sound focus grouped, where I think radio pluggers were stepping into meetings with musicians before a note's recorded, saying, well, this album worked out really great for so-and-so, we need to hit that demographic. None of that happens.
It starts to feel like you're a politician.
Right, right.
Yeah.
Why am I running for office? Focus groups? Exactly. Why don't I just make what I feel and you guys sell it? How about that for a model? And that's thankfully, you know, something that's working out in an independent way.
Fantastic.
And you have the freedom to make the sort of artistic alliances and collaborations that you want to, too.
And so this new recording is coming out in October, you said?
In October, yeah, mid to late October this year.
And what's the
it's
title?
It's going to be called Nonogram.
Great.
Nonogram, weird title. A nine-pointed star, so the number nine is obviously very significant to the album.
Fantastic.
If you forget that, just look for Soweto Kinch in October time and you should hear nothing else from me but the number nine.
All right, so speaking of talking about the issues of the day, you have this song that's called Axis of Evil, which I'm going to play a little bit of it. I'm not sure if we'll... No, I think we'll probably play the whole thing. It's from your album, The New Emancipation.
Sure.
Maybe I'll just play a little bit first.
Cool. On the line, no one takes time to trace. They'll never find my hiding place, cause I'm the face behind the face. Annihilate my wire cage, hire slaves for higher stakes. So I'm the face behind the face. On the line, no one takes time to trace. They'll never find my hiding place, cause I'm the face behind the face. Annihilate my wire cage, hired slaves for higher stakes. So I'm the face behind the face. I am pandemonium. Heart as black as Iraq petroleum / opium seeds. While mothers are slaughtered, soldiers openly grieve. I stay paid off weapons deals, still holding the reed. So many owe me the belief.
The church deacons to obia chiefs could only hope to achieve. No henchman, I'm less sensible. Puncture your left ventricle, disable your senses when arrowheads enter you. I can't count, no, they're trained to speak. Pockets bulging trade receipts while disengaging naval fleets. Statements leak in vain, they seek corn and maize to eat. I'm paid while claiming grain and seeds deplete. All hail and give praise to me. I thrive in instability, sprinkle mix instant military. Fear my infamy, eliminate all who have an infamy. Invisibly conducting arms without symphonies. Jeopardize with steady weapon supply. Loaded semis and knives assembled to sever a tribe. I give the genuine axis of evil access to people to aqueous diesel and gallons of refill. I, the future's market, the future's smartest, won't be shooting a moving target. I'm the line no one takes time to trace. They'll never find a hiding place, cause I'm the face behind the face. Annihilate my wired cage, hire slaves for higher stakes, so I'm the face behind the face. On the line no one takes time to trace. You'll never find my hiding place, so I'm the face behind the face. I'll drop a round of bombs on a hospice basement just to compensate for my loss of patience. Cluster bombs in concentrations is more commonplace than comma placement. Is the abomination an abomination when they abomination? As if my occupation's occupation. I'm the heart and brains, the arm and planes. I'm the arms and faces, the arteries and veins. I'm not the one that's funding war. I'm paper printed, stuffed in floors, stuffing in the cupboard doors. I'm wind, smoke and nothing more. Am I here or chimera, an idea or fine air? I'm the line no one takes time to trace. They'll never find a hiding place, so I'm the face behind the face. Annihilate my wire cased hired slaves for higher stakes, so I'm the face behind the face. Your very will I will erase till this world is in my image made. With such efficient pace I eliminate cityscapes like a village raid. Switching trade your steak into my dinner plate. They deliver steaks like livers and steaks with a willing haste. Spitting swindling hate in its face to leave just a bit of taste. Trying to win the races like you lit a flame in wind and rain. You may as well try to sling grenades through interspace. I'm busy brimming hate with a grinning face. Like Judas with a kiss betrayed. Think of making quick escapes, I hijack your inner faith and have your spirits traced. You'll never know for sure if I control the shores and solar force. Just notice more soldiers pouring in for open war. All on patrol for petroleum stores. You don't have to see the wind to know its force. I'm the line no one takes time to trace. You'll never find my hiding place because I'm the face behind the face. Annihilate my wire caged hired slaves for higher stakes, which is why I'm the face behind the face. I'm the line no one takes time to trace. You'll never find my hiding place because I'm the face behind the face. Annihilate my wire caged hired slaves for higher stakes, so I'm the face behind the face behind the face.
Bass clarinet,
yeah.
Love it. Axis of Evil, okay. So how much does that come from our former president?
It totally comes from both our former president and the beloved Tony Blair.
Mm-hmm.
And this whole standing shoulder, the sort of rhetoric, the lazy rhetoric that came about at the time, I think the legacy of which we still see in elections now, where you can say something like, take back control.
Yeah.
And it just hits all sorts of nerves and nobody really scrutinizes it. So that was one such term, mm-hmm. The axis of evil. Well, actually, who are these agents? Who are these people? We never really see them. It's almost a shadow government making decisions. We all felt it. This is what this reminds me of as well. We all felt it at the time that the war was happening, that we're not being told the whole picture. Who's really making the decisions? I'm the face behind the face, as the lyric's saying. And now we're finding out, post-Chilcot report, that actually decisions were made behind closed doors without full disclosure.
Yeah. It's tough.
It's a hard one.
It's tough. So I'm going to pivot to the music, because the orchestration in that piece is so lush.
Thank you.
And there's so much going on. So first of all, to get the resources to get that size of an ensemble in the studio is tough, but also as a composer.
Which is why we overdub.
A lot of thankfully. It was overdub.
Yeah, I mean, through the album...
nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, through the album, thankfully, I was lucky to work with Byron Wallen, Harry Brown, Dennis Baptiste.
Multi-instrumentalists.
And to have a horn section that was really accomplished and sounded really full.
Yeah.
But, you know, using the technology, as we discussed in your interview earlier, that you can... layer things up. It's something that I'm getting more into, actually, and having an orchestral sound produced by just one musician.
But you're still, I mean, it allows you to write these enormous charts that you wouldn't be able to write Absolutely. Otherwise. And so that's got to be a part of your conception of the music on some level, right?
Hugely. And I had the great pleasure of going to Udine in northern Italy to play some of this material just a couple of weeks ago.
Wow.
Mostly from the New Emancipation with a large ensemble. So they'd written it for big band and you know,
Beautiful.
It's great hearing it actualized with trombones and trumpets and sections here and diminuendos there and all sorts. So it was great.
Wow, I'd love to hear that. Is that, did you record that?
I think they did actually, and there'll be some little Something bits of it online for sure. For sure. But that song in particular really has surprised me. Its trajectory has really surprised me. I mean, the fact that I can be, what is it, 6 years after it's recorded in Italy, performing it with gusto and people going, yes, it's true what you're saying, even though it's 6 years old. I've been to Moscow where the song...
Universal truth of the arts, I think.
I guess so. And the fact that you don't know who it's speaking to, having gone all the way to Moscow where the song isn't formally released, I guess they would only have heard it through bootleg channels, and went to a session where this young MC was like, I know the song, can I perform it with you?
Wow.
Rapped every single lyric.
Wow. That's
apologized great. For her English and then did a better version of the rap than I could have remembered to do. So you don't know who's listening to, you know, these thoughts and ideas. And going back to something we said earlier, where it did feel a time where if you stood up on any kind of soapbox, you'd be denounced or just people would just switch off.
You felt that too.
I felt that too, but it's definitely the case that more people are listening and feeling the same things than perhaps we were aware of.
Well, the rap itself, the lyric, it's so powerful. I mean, it's hard to turn away
Thanks.
When you hear it. And that brings us to the legend of Mike Smith, which I guess is technically your most recent release, but I know there's a lot of other music that's going on simultaneously. But this track that called Invidia from the legend of Mike Smith, I thought we'd listen a little bit and maybe talk about it.
Sure.
I'm getting left behind. Every minute, second chance. I don't get a second time. Explain, I'm jealous. I'm supposed to be next in line. When will I be getting mine? When will I be getting mine? When will I be getting mine? I ain't getting left behind. Every minute, second chance. I don't get no second time. Ain't saying I'm jealous, but they got the chain and neck and shine. When will I be getting mine? When will I be getting mine? Still in this little flat. Still in this winter trap. Still living over the cash limit, I'm living strapped. Still struggling to live off rap. Still have to borrow cash for heat, still have to give it back. Stillborn, simple, still a pauper. Still my bank balance is still smaller. No bubbly on tap, just tap, still water. Career stands still, bottle this is still trauma. Still only frozen peas and rolls to eat. Still only the old phone with the broken screen. Where's my photo shoots, posters and promotion schemes? Doing shows for free, how much exposure I'm supposed to need? Still ain't crossed over where I'm supposed to be. Still don't hold the card, I don't own a deal. Sitting on a still motor, still don't hold the keys. Still rolling over and don't control the wheel. I wish he'd disappear, I wish he'd clear the scene. These people should be here for me, they should be cheering me. Can't they think clear and see? This should be my stage, my people's dreams. Seriously? It should be my face they see on screen. He copied that career from me. Should be my speech ad theme. It should be my example, my sample, my clearance fee. Why is she my wife? When I look at this kind of picture, I'm inclined to ditch her. Where's my wider hip to what? Why is her booty not kinda bigger and her waist like it's slimmer? Why am I with her? Why is her skin kinda withered? I'm eating teeth, grinding each molar, trying to grab a decent hold. Cause I'm just older, I'm not slightly richer. No chains, no gold rings, or no fingers. I've been patient. How come the payslips ain't bigger? Why ain't my place littered with fine food plates and crates of liquor? Why ain't my place bigger? Enters only 2.4, why don't I race quicker? When will I be getting mine? I ain't getting left behind. Every minute, second chance, I don't get no second time. Ain't saying I'm jealous, but I'm supposed to be next in line. When will I be getting mine? When will I be getting mine? When will I be getting mine? I ain't getting left behind. Every minute, second chance, I don't get no second time. Ain't saying I'm jealous, but they got the chain and neck to shine. When will I be getting mine? When will I be getting mine? Like, why am I around with a side guys? I'm hype with these size rhymes because I'm high size. Like, put them behind with a strike and a blind side. Lost onwards, but a side rise. You're giving raw. more lights to a bye-bye. Leave more blind with a glare with a side light. Drive-by, retire, roll a tea time on a brief five, and it's bye-bye. Side light, no blights, no lifeline. So quick when I'm in a cypher with sci-fi. It's my time, give me my shine, and my time in the limelight. Cause I am sky high. When I type with a typewriter, it's too high. Can't buy for the guy price, why try? When I climb these giddy heights, it still shines too bright for the eyesight. What I spit is beyond, and it's meridian. Get a watch, hit a time by. Little crime in a 5 minute time, killer rhyme, time heights like a reverse skydive. Green days, air raids, and it's nice strikes. I spy, I'm sharp as an ice bite. I mean, ice pick. It's an injury, I'm a disc full of geeks, and they fight bites. Unsteady mind, giddy mind, it's my mic. Anytime, any guys, any rhyme strike. Tell the guys, take a hike, go fly kites, and spice them, the smiles, the die twice. Just wanna see them fall from a high height. Leave them tongue tied and tie suns like Iron Mike. When will I be getting mine? I ain't getting left behind. Every minute, second time, I don't get no second time. Ain't saying I'm jealous, but I'm supposed to be next in line. When will I be getting mine? When will I be getting mine? When will I be getting mine? I ain't getting left behind. Every minute, second time, I don't get no second time. Ain't saying I'm jealous, but they got the chain and left to shine. When will I be getting mine? When will I be getting mine? Bit of a riddle to grab the biggest apples. I scatter caterpillars to a master fatter figures and chatter just living. Since that is ridiculous, I cause damage to all barriers. Lift heavy-headed rappers, inanimate, and scramble the scanners. I couldn't understand the staggering calculus that he vanishes. Cold, stabbing, jagged words and stone tablets. Mortal men couldn't manage this. Mathematical malice is manifested. Random man in panic attacks, ceteris paribus, severing challenges with devilish avarice. This penis and avarice to the next caliber, excalibur, have an anarchist to channel it. I pass this to any pacifist. Damn it, till every man and woman is a fan of this. This carrot is blasphemous. What is this? Cannabis had to be cannabis. Fanning these chemical imbalances. Attack the standing with savage and shattered it. When will I be getting mine? I ain't getting left behind. Every minute, second chance, I don't get no second time. Ain't saying I'm jealous, but they got the chain and necklace shine. When will I be getting mine? When will I be getting mine? When will I be getting mine? I ain't getting left behind. Every minute, second chance, I don't get no second time. Ain't saying I'm jealous, y'all supposed to be next in line. When will I be getting mine? When will I be getting mine?
I love that organ. Where did that idea come in?
The whole album itself is based on the Seven Deadly Sins, and I was drawing inspiration from Dante, from Bosch, from the art of the period, and I kind of wanted something that sounded gothic at the same time. So I was getting into the sonics of that. Obviously, the saxophone adapting and treating that sound to make it sound otherworldly. And I think, as you imply, it almost implies a descent into madness. You know, this central character in the album is going through a journey.
It wasn't recorded, but I was being not implicit.
Yeah. He was doing the whole finger point around here. That happened. I think there is a challenge almost with mass sort of psychosis, with consumerism, with things that we're encouraged to do on a daily basis. That we don't think about. And this album kind of explored that tension within one character who's trying to be this rapper, who's trying to buy a gold microphone, and in the process is thwarted by lust, sloth, greed, gluttony, all of the seven deadly sins.
The inferno,
absolutely, and doesn't realize it's happening perhaps until the very end.
And this was a staged play?
It is a staged play, absolutely, and it will be hitting the stages again.
Oh, great.
Next spring, so we're going on a theatrical tour.
Wonderful.
With this piece as well.
Will you be coming to the States?
I hope to. And so we're going to be sending out the tendrils to theatre promoters and so forth there. But, you know, much as the collaborations I've seen you do with dance and other things, it does bring the music and these themes out into an audience that's not necessarily familiar with such a thing as jazz as a genre. It just responds to, this song moved me. I got what this thematically meant at this point in the story. And that's it's the kind of thing I find exciting about working in theatre and in new media and new platforms as well.
Wow, wonderful. So speaking of new platforms, you have this new project, and I think I have a sort of a secret pre-mastered, unfinished track that you're going to allow me to play some of.
And so
this is a new project. I'm just going to roll a little bit of it, and then we'll talk about it. Or actually, you know what? This piece that you sent, it's so heavy. It's called Waved. I think maybe why don't we talk about it a little bit, and then I'll just let it roll, and that'll finish the show, because it's been so great talking to you.
Absolutely, likewise, man.
And so everybody go to SoetoKinch.com, I would imagine.
Soeto-Kinch.com. Don't forget the hyphen.
You have a middle name. I didn't
yeah. Minus. That's my middle name. Check me out. I'm on Facebook, Twitter, the whole shebang. So, yeah. No, thanks for having me. It's been a great chat.
So let me ask you about this. I mean, in a way, this sounds like full orchestra now, and it brings together all those threads we were talking about in your work, right?
Sure.
The spoken word and saxophone.
Actually, maybe spoken word less so on this album than any previous one. And I think something you said also fired off a neuron in me, where it's really how pop music appropriates sound, and they have certain patterns and ways of affecting an audience, particularly that sometimes as jazz musicians we find cheesy, but are tremendously influential at a brain level, at a medullary level, you know.
But I also think it doesn't have to be cheesy. Mm. Sometimes it is. Mm. It veers into cheesy. Mm. So does jazz. Mm. But I think these methods of communicating, you know, the great masters, when you hear them, it does. You know, you see a video of Joni Mitchell.
Right.
Or in person, even better. It's like, okay, here's the message.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I think they hone in at fundamentals, if you like.
Stevie Wonder.
I mean, yeah.
Cheesy.
You couldn't even call that pop, in my opinion. But anyway.
Yeah.
They hone in, I guess, principles that unite all humans, really. Mm. The things that make us, that move us about a ballad, the things that move us about crescendo here or there, or a pause, really just excite, fire our neurons in ways that make us feel alive. And I felt as jazz musicians, and as concerned jazz musicians for the world which seems sometimes increasingly divided, we can use music, just sound, just music, to heal people in some way, or to open up consciousness, or to unlock walls. And so, for example, one of the songs in the new album just experiments with 5/4, switching between two time signatures of 5/4, and not hopefully in a way that jazz musicians go, oh, that clave there was, oh, the metric modulation was fascinating.
Right.
No, it's just I was grooving along one way, and then I suddenly grooved a different way, and I just feel good about that. I just feel perceptually, I feel like I've made a shift. And I'm trying to do those things metaphorically with music more than I have done overtly with lyrics in the past.
Wow, that's wonderful. All right. Okay, we're going to hear it.
Okay. We'll be right back.